Aren't you glad that in everyday life, whether we know it or not, it is God who is keeping us in the race? Praise the Lord for that. Because some days I just feel like, Lord, what in the world is going on? How about you? But God keeps us in the race. And that's what Genesis chapter 24 is teaching us. Some folks say, well, this chapter is about arranged marriages in ancient Near Eastern culture. And I don't deny that. But if that's the only thing you see in this chapter, then you're missing the bigger picture. You're missing the forest for the trees. Because the big lesson is this. God invisibly works behind the scenes in our everyday life to bring about His sovereign will and purposes in just the natural course of life. God is at work behind the scenes. We don't even notice it sometimes. As long as God is in control, church family, I want you to hear this, nothing can shove us out of the race of faith permanently and completely. Remember the promises that God has given to us. Two or three times this week, this verse has come before me. And it's come before me by people who didn't know that I had already planned to read this verse in my sermon. It's like there's two verses, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, that are bookends. And it speaks the truth to us about God's providential working in our lives. This is in what Jeremiah wrote. The weeping prophet wrote in chapter 29 of verse 11. And you know this verse. It goes like this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. It's like Paul, under the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, remembered those lines because this is what he wrote. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. How does God do that? Through His providential acts. That's how He does it. Amen, church family? You have a God that loves you and cares for you and is for you and will keep you in the race of faith all the way home. All the way home. Last Sunday morning, we began this series on God's providential gifts. We looked at point number one. You'll go to the next slide. This is what we saw. In His providence, the Lord showers His people with blessing. And we looked at two of those providential gifts. Some of you may sort of question the first one, but it is a providential gift, and that is being well advanced in years. The Bible says that Abraham was well advanced in years. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in years. And the second gift we see of God's providence is this, His blessings. And the Bible tells us, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So the third providential gift that we're going to see this morning is this. God's providential gift is all-encompassing authority. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I come to You this morning because You are the one and only true God. You are the God of our forefathers and our foremothers. You are the God who is over all things. You are the God who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present. You are the God who, in ages past, said that You would send Your Son to the cross, that sinners could be saved for Your glory. And Father, You have been working throughout time and even before the creation to bring about Your will. And Lord, let us see today that we are here not by chance or fate or coincidence, but You have sovereignly placed us in this place at this moment and worked out many details that we don't even think about to get us here so that we could worship You. So Lord, today we just pray that You would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for the treasure of Your word, that we may know You better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Look at the second part of verse 3. God's providential gift, his all-encompassing authority. This little phrase I want to bring to your attention. The God of heaven and God of the earth. Concerning verse 3, one theologian made this remark. He said, there is nowhere we can go that falls outside the jurisdiction of the providential care of the Lord. He is the God of heaven and God of the earth. Now, like Abraham, when traveling on a perilous journey, we need to have this calming reassurance that God's providential power and his presence surrounds us. It goes before us. It subjects all other powers to his will and brings about his blessing on our lives. And the reason why that can take place is because God is the God of heaven and of earth. Now, those are bookends. What else is God the God of? Everything in between. Everything in between. He is sovereign over the very sinews that hold our frame together. He has all encompassing authority over all things. Listen to what the Bible says about our God. Write this down. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says this: God works all things according to the counsel of his will. So who does God seek for counsel? His own will. He doesn't need to go any further than that because he is all-knowing. He seeks only the counsel of his will, and he works all things according to that counsel because he has all-encompassing authority. Does that not just put a little quiver in your liver? Does that not just put a little extra step and you get along? I mean, can you imagine living under the providential care of a God who has all-encompassing authority? Can you just imagine that? Some of you need help. So I'm going to help you a little bit this morning. Take these verses down. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. Write that down. You need to, because you won't remember it. Write it down. You need to know this. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Amen. I got another one for you. Psalm 103, verse 19. Psalm 103, verse 19. Chalk that down. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over all. I got another one for you. Some of you guys may think that you're just in Davidson County by accident. The whim of the will of your mother and father, or because of a job, that's why you're here. But I want you to know that's not true. I want you to know that the God who has all authority, all encompassing authority over all things, has placed you here at this time in Davidson County. How do you know that, Pastor David? Well, let me just tell you. Write this down. You need to know it. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. This needs to be a life verse for every one of us in here. It needs to be. It needs to be. Because sometimes we think, I was born in the wrong time. Sometimes we think we were born to live in the wrong place. That somehow, some way, along the way, God got something wrong. But God never does anything wrong. Because he does all things according to his wise counsel. And this is what this verse says. Now, if your liver was quivering just a minute ago, it's going to shake you almost out of the pew after I read this verse. And he made, that is, God made from one man every nation of mankind to live. What is he referring to? Creation. To live on the face of the earth. To live on the face of the earth. Not on Mars, not in Jupiter, not on some far planet, billions and billions of galaxies away, but on earth. On earth. Now, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Why are you here today? Because God has determined when you would live. Why are you in Davidson County? Because God has set the boundaries of your life, even before creation. Do you doubt it? I hope not. Because this is not my opinion. It's not my suggestion. It's not a notion. But this is based upon the authoritative, inerrant Word of God. Amen and amen. You are at Liberty Baptist Church because God wants you here. Now, what are you going to do for Him? Amen. I want to call some names, but I'm not going to do it. Wherever you work, you're there because God has put you there, not just for a paycheck, but for His glory. Amen. You are retired after a lifelong work, and you're retired right where you're at because God has something for you to do. If it's just praying, God has something for you to do. Amen. Get excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right in the place where He has planted you. The light of God's love needs to shine right where you're at. Why are you in that job? You're there to do a good job, good work, so that you have a good testimony for Jesus Christ. That's why. Why are you in that marriage? Well, for the same reason. To love, to cherish, and to show the light of God's love. Amen. Romans 11:36, write that down. Romans 11:36. From him and through him and to him are all things. You know, I shared this Wednesday night, but you know what I found out the Greek word translated all means? All. It means all, without question. All. Now, so, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. You are here for the glory of God. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. I tell you what. Your livers are quivering right now, but this is why they're holding together. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. All things hold together. John MacArthur says this: how encouraging to know that the eternal God who sustains the entire universe is also watching over you. No detail of your life is too small for His concern. No circumstance is too big for His sovereign control. As the old song goes, He's got the whole world in His hands. Christ literally holds all things together. That's why it's not come unwound. Even Job recognized God's all-encompassing authority. Write this down. Job 42:2. This is what Job says. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. God is over earth and heaven. That's just His way of saying that things are occurring providentially according to the counsel of His will because he has all-encompassing authority over all of his creation. So as we watch the news, as we see the chaos, as we hear the evil work of dastardly mischief, as we keep seeing wrong is right and right is wrong, just know that God has not lost control and that things are going according to his purpose and his will. God will make a way for you. Are you hearing me? Nothing can shove you off the path that God has put you upon for his glory and for your good. So the providential gift that we're going to see of Rebecca is just proof that God has all-encompassing authority over all things, even something such as a wedding. Abraham knew God. You see, did Abraham say something like this at the beginning or at the end? At the end. Abraham had grown in his faith, and I'm going to touch base on that a little later. He had grown in his faith, and he could now say, my God is over the heavens and over the earth. There's nothing too hard for him to do. Abraham was expressing the utmost faith in God in this line because he knew from his own experience that God has all-encompassing authority over all things. Amen? That's a gift, is it not? Thank you, Courtney. It is a gift. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. You know, as happy as I am, Sam's down in Raleigh, I'm so thankful he's not in control of all things. Aren't you, Sam? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I wanted to share a personal story with you this morning to sort of pull all this together for us, how it's just showing God's all-encompassing power. And like I say, it's a personal story. And I could begin at different points in history with this personal story, but this is a story about God's providential power, his all-encompassing power that brought Alice and I and our family to Liberty Baptist Church. You guys remember how long ago it is now? Going on 16 years now. And I'm looking at some folks that were on that committee that God used to bring us here. And I may have shared this story with you before. I don't care. I'm going to share it again. It's a good story, because it really pulls all things together about how we got here. And Alice, I may have to refer to you for a few details just in case I forget some things. But anyway, like I say, I could begin with many different people, but I have chosen to begin today with two people that I have grown to love and know very well. Their names, Ronnie Linwood Hardison and Linda Gail Johnson. Y'all know them as my mother and father-in-law, right? Well, the story of their coming together begins down east at a place called Minnesot Beach. Are you familiar with that place? Minnesot Beach. Linda and her family, I think there were 10 kids, and her mom and dad would load up one car, pack the kids and I think everything else with them. No seat belts, of course, at that time. They were packed on top of each other, and they would drive down to Minnesot Beach during the summers and vacation down there. Well, on one occasion when they were down at Minnesot Beach vacationing, guess who else was there on leave? Ronnie Hardison. They met, and I'm pretty sure that he loved her at first glance, and she was pretty hooked on him at first glance. And that's where it all began. Now you say, now wait just a minute, Pastor David. Are you telling me that God somehow brought you to Liberty Baptist Church through Ronnie and Linda meeting at Minnesot Beach? And that's exactly what I'm telling you. And you say, well, how does that work? Well, do I have to tell you? Along came, after they got married, that is, along came their first daughter, Joy, and then their second daughter, who was born June 18th, 1970, Alice. is the light going on now? They met. Now, that's not the rest of the story, is it, Alice? Well, Ronnie and Linda decided that they were going to build a house, and that that house was going to be on what is Delwood Avenue in High Point in Guilford County. Now, if you know anything, this was in the late 1960s, so that wasn't even in the city limit at the time. That was on the outer edge there where they were building. Now, they built their house, and across the street from them was a lady by the name of Hazel. Hazel Bowen. Hazel Bowen lived across the street from the house that Ronnie and Linda built in the late 1960s. Hazel is still there today, and Ronnie and Linda are still there today, probably the only ones that are still there from the original group that lived there all those years ago. Well, across the street from where Ronnie and Linda built their house came along a church by the name of Oak View Baptist. Oak View Baptist. It was a up-and-coming church. It was a new church. Well, over here in Davidson County was a church by the name of Liberty Baptist Church, who had a pastor by the name of Ken Miller, Lena. He pastored here from 1959 to 1966. In 1966, Oak View Baptist Church gave Pastor Ken Miller a call. He leaves this big church and goes to a little church in High Point. And by the way, God thrived that church under his leadership to it grew to over 1,000, I'm pretty sure. Well, what happened when Reverend Ken Miller and his wife and family went to Oak View Baptist Church? Do you know? No, you don't, because I'm going to tell you this. But Hazel Bowen, who was the neighbor of Ronnie and Linda Hardison, was a member at guess what church? Oak View Baptist Church. Now you're saying, Pastor David, you're getting out in the woods here. No, I'm not. This is how God works. Did you know that? No, you didn't know. I'm going to stop saying that. Hazel Bowen and her family became close friends with Ken Miller and his family. Long after Ken Miller had retired from Oak View Baptist Church, Hazel Bowen was still good friends with Ken Miller. Follow me. Back in 2002, Alice and I were living in her mom and dad's basements with three little kids. We had moved from Kentucky without jobs. And Alice was homeschooling all the kids as best she could in the basement there. We had no money, but we had a lot of fun and a lot of love, and just people cared for us there. And I worked at Thomasville Furniture and also as an interim pastor for the Little White Church in the Hood in High Point. Now, Liberty Baptist Church at that time was, guess what, looking for a pastor. They ran into a snag, couldn't find anybody. So what did they do? They asked Reverend Ken Miller if he knew anybody. Well, Reverend Ken Miller didn't know anybody, so he asked Hazel Bowen if she knew anybody. And she said, well, as a matter of fact, my next door neighbor's son is a pastor, and he's looking for a church to pastor full time. Well, guess who had an interview with Reverend Ken Miller before I ever interviewed with the search committee here at the church? Yours truly. Interviewed with Kim. He gave me the stamp of approval. Next thing I know, Liberty Baptist Church's search committee is contacting me. We go through a lot of interviews. They come to the Little White Church in the Hood, hear me preach. I don't know how many times y'all did that, but different times, different people coming. And another thing that I remember so fondly about that interview process is when I came to Liberty to preach my sermon for y'all, my trial sermon, I didn't preach one trial sermon. Do y'all remember that? I preached five trial sermons. That's just ungodly. That was unholy. I even did a Wednesday night trial sermon. Where did it all start? With Ronnie and Linda at one of their favorite places to vacation called Minnesota Beach. Could you have done that? Just as easy as it is for me to tell that story, it was even easier for God to take the threads of all those lives and weave them into the beautiful tapestry of His sovereign will. Amen. The Bible says, our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. Aren't you thankful for that? Well, I preached myself out of time, so let me bring this ship into shore. We've looked at some of the blessings of the Lord, His providential gifts, being well advanced in years, His blessings that He gives us, and His all-encompassing authority. God is providentially working in our lives every day to accomplish His sovereign will. Our God is so wonderfully glorious in power and majesty. And I hope that you trust Him as Abraham trusted Him not to fail in finding Isaac a wife back home. There's a little hymn. J.C. Baxter wrote these lyrics. And it goes like this. Listen to them. He never fails the soul that trusts in Him. Though disappointments come and hope burns dim, He never fails. First stanza. Though trials surge like stormy seas around, though testings fierce like ambushed foes abound, yet this my soul with millions more has found. He never fails the soul that trusts in Him. Though angry skies with thunder clouds grow grim, He never fails. Though icy blasts life's fairest flowers lay low, though earthly springs of joy all cease to flow, yet still 'tis true, with millions more I know, He never fails the soul that trusts in Him. Though sorrow cup should overflow the brim, He never fails. Though oft the pilgrim way seems rough and long, I yet shall stand amid yon white-robed throng, and there I'll sing with millions more this song. He never fails. He never fails. Remember, the one who calls you is faithful. He who began a good work in you will complete it. And He can, because He has all encompassing authority over everything. He never fails. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. I pray with hearts overflowing with joy. I pray, Lord Father God, that we have seen God today, that we have seen You in a way that sparks life in us, gives us faith and optimism, that gives us hope, that shatters the power of Satan and sin, which will bring us home safely to heaven. And in the meantime, we'll live by faith in You, Lord, attempting great things for You and trusting in You to bring them about for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.